Welcome to Shining Bright, the Farm Her radio show all about women doing great things. Women who are making the ordinary extraordinary. Women following their passion, taking action, and making a difference for themselves and others. Join me, Margie, as your host on Shining Bright by Farm Her.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Shining Bright. I am so happy to be here with you all today. And I hope your day is going well. If it's not, it's about to get a whole lot better. We've got a really fun episode coming up here. So you may have noticed me talking about the faces of Farm Her. That is our theme for this year. And we want to remind everybody that Farm Hers look very different from farm to farm, from state to state, from person to person. And I always say Farm Her is a state of mind. And, you know, we all connect to agriculture in some way, shape or form, whether we just eat every day or whether we grow the food or we engage in it maybe from a business perspective. But we all bring our different parts and pieces, and that makes us a Farm Her. So I have had the pleasure. I've been going through this class, and there's been multiple different speakers who come into this class. And one of the women is an accountant. By trade, she teaches at a college, and she and her husband farm. And she said to me when she asked me what Farm Her was and what it was about, and I told her, she said, "Well, oh, I'm not the farmer." And I said, oh, hold on. You are the Farm Her, because you just told me that you keep all of the books and you really are managing the business side, the cash flow, the accounting, all the bookwork, right, that goes along with running any business, and specifically a farm in their situation. So I look at that as being every bit as important as putting that seed in the ground, because that seed is never going to go in the ground without all of those financial decisions, as we all know, that go into all of it. So the faces of Farm Her can look very, very different from person to person and place to place. And so coming up on this episode, and you've heard on some other recent episodes, we have been including some creative women, some musical women into this Shining Bright. And it's a fun thing to get to explore. Some of them are definitely connected to agriculture, you know, through a piece of their life, maybe in the past or today. And some of them, as you'll hear them say or have heard them say, you know, they just are blessed enough to get to eat every day. So, you know, wherever they are in that Farm Her spectrum, I think it's a really fun thing to include in this. I would consider myself a creative business owner, a creative person, a creative woman. And, you know, so for me, it's a really fun thing to get to delve into some of those other kind of creative mindsets and hear what makes them tick and why they do it, and why we all run after these exciting, passionate things that we have in our lives. And so you're going to be hearing from Sarah Simmons coming up, who is a singer and songwriter from Iowa, which always makes me super excited. And she is in Nashville now running after her dreams. And you're going to not just meet her and learn about her and hear what makes her tick, but she's going to sing a song, "Oh, I Need You," at the end of her segments. And then we're going to go to the Des Moines, Iowa, FFA program. And it's through the Des Moines Public Schools, which is an urban school district. You guys, this is something I think that is unique out there. And it is, being an FFA program in an urban school is not the unique part. The size of it, how they run after it. They're one of the largest student run greenhouses in the country, if not the largest out there, which is unique. And I have had a connection with this FFA program since the beginning, really, of Farm Her. Their instructor reached out to me, and I remember very clearly, I had very little kids at the time. My son wasn't even in school yet. And he asked me if I would come speak at their school. And so I went down to their campus, which is way on the other side of town here. And it's kind of an alternative campus because of the ag piece. And there's some other alternative education pieces there at that same campus. And I went into their classroom, which is in these like mobile units. And you guys, these are old, that they're, you know, look like they've kind of been unused until they started using them for that ag education program. And I met some of these girls and I had my little tiny boy in tow. And I remember this is how Farm Her worked in the early days. I went in there to speak about what Farm Her was to his class because he said, you know, these girls really need to hear from a positive influence. They need to hear something positive about women in this industry. And, you know, you really have something to offer them. And so I said, okay, I'll come talk and I'll bring my little tiny boy and I'll cross my fingers and hope to God that he actually like watches the iPad for more than like 10 minutes. And I gave him a big bag of Cheerios. And then like, you know, 10 minutes into my talk, he like wanders up and he's like, Hey mom. So it actually made me smile. So we're going to revisit some of the things that they're doing at that Des Moines FFA program, which I said is kind of near and dear to my heart. I love that story. So some young women who are really chasing after their dreams coming up here on Shining Bright. I want to encourage all of you to check out our website, farmher.com. You can see the stories. You can see the pictures. You can meet the women. Stick with us here on Shining Bright. We will be right back. Welcome to Shining Bright. So I, in the interest of all these fun things that we get to include in Shining Bright that are Farm Her related in so many different ways, we've been having, as you've heard lately, lots of different musicians on here. And I'm excited for this one. We're talking with Sarah Simmons. Sarah, welcome.
Good morning.
Yes, yes. So I want to jump back a little bit. The first thing that jumped out at me when I read about you, you are from Iowa, right?
I am. I'm an Iowa/Colorado girl. My grandparents are from Northwest Iowa, like Okoboji and yeah. Spirit Lake. And then my grandpa, he got transferred down to the Arsenal in Rock Island. And so they moved to the Quad Cities, and that's where, until my grandma passed away, that's where everybody hung out at.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah. I am right here in Central Iowa, born, raised. I leave all the time, but I don't ever plan on moving away. So I'm always excited when I run across another Iowa girl. And actually, my parents live up in Spirit Lake, so we're talking the same part of the state for sure. So. Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about when you grew up. Were you involved in agriculture at all?
We did like 4-H. And then we had like a 6-acre farm. And so I can't say it's anything like gigantic like most farmers have, you know, but we had some steers and definitely like the goats and chickens. We had a potbelly pig wander onto our yard one time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it takes all kinds when it comes to farms.
I had a bunch of horses. That was my main focus. We actually had a lot of goats, and then I started riding our billy goat. And so I finally got my pony.
Oh my goodness. Well, I've actually seen that done before, so you aren't alone.
I twisted a few arms. I thought, oh, I'm sure his back was like, oh, my God, get off of me.
That's pretty funny. Oh, my goodness. Well, goats are like a universal language on farms. I always say like, actually, I've seen it many times where people have like one and then they like that spurs them into getting all these other animals, maybe like a potbelly pig. Right. And one of the people who's on our radio or our TV show, actually, she had this quote and I always remember it. Goats are like potato chips. You can't have just one.
Gosh, that's so true.
I know. Yeah, I see it in practice all of the time. Okay, so there's your farming background. Let's talk a little bit about music. When did music come into your life? Were you super young?
Yeah, well, I started out singing in church. So, as soon as I could walk or before, we were learning church hymns and all that stuff. But then it turned into actually a 4-H thing. My horse got navicular. And so I still wanted to be a part of 4-H. And so I changed like events and ended up doing a talent competition. And that kind of went and turned into nights at the bar and singing a couple songs and like for the next however many years. And so, yeah, actually I learned Crazy, the Patsy Cline song, singing in a bar. Some guy pulled out a tape recorder and was like, here, listen to this song and learn it and come back and sing it. And so that was like my it song as a kid forever. Yeah,
that's awesome. I love that song.
Yeah.
So 4-H spurred you into your career. That's kind of, you know, I kind of have something similar. I was in 4-H and we were kind of like you, you know, we lived on a farm. We had some animals, but we didn't raise corn or beans or grow any commodities like that. And, so I always joke, like I showed my cat in 4-H, right? Like I was not a legit farm kid, but I didn't ride my cat. But that would have been impossible. But I did take pictures and that spurred me into, I suppose, my career now, which doesn't make sense in talking about the radio, but like that's what started Farm Her. So 4-H is an amazing place for young people to, you know, get that start. I absolutely love that. So you started singing at a young age. Did you learn instruments along the way as well? Or what kind of, tell me a little bit more about your musical career. I mean, or is it just singing?
Well, I did kind of get, I don't remember if I asked to play guitar or not. I got some lessons. So like the first guy that I started singing with, he had a really great band back home. And then he's like, oh, you need to meet this other lady and she can help you out along the way. And so I ended up taking guitar lessons from her for maybe like 6 months, maybe a year. I don't quite remember. But I ended up being more interested in just yapping with her along the way.
Yeah.
So the more we, you know, the more we got to know each other, the less my guitar practicing really happened. I thought, well, I'll just focus on singing. Little did I know, Nashville has singers, a dime a dozen, and they don't me. So I should have probably practiced the guitar a little more. But I was saying, God gives people gifts, and so I hire guitar players to come with me.
You know what? My husband is a guitar player, so I think that that's an important thing to hire those guitar players to come along with you.
Look good. That's the way to go.
Yeah. You know, and there's a lot of truth to that. You know, you stick with what you're good at and be the best at it, right? Like, just make that your thing. And so there's a lot to that. So that was your path into music. What led you to, what made you go, I'm going to move to Nashville?
Oh, I didn't drink enough coffee in the morning.
Kind of like today for me.
Oh gosh. It was just something. I think I came out of the womb going, let's go to Nashville. You know, I don't know. I think Colorado and Iowa are both cold and I don't like being cold. That's one thing. And then I don't know. There's something about like, if I'm, and I'm sure it's just me, but if I'm good at something, I tend to like to stay there. Challenges aren't necessarily my comfort zone, but I also know that I can only grow if I'm out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know really what, I just thought, gosh, why not? Why not move to Nashville and be a star? And a little bit of ignorance was, over my eyes that day that I moved down here.
I think we all need that though, right? Otherwise we probably wouldn't run after those big dreams.
I think if somebody were to have said to me, you need to do this, this, or this, I still think I would have been so ambitious. Like I'm still ambitious, but I'm a little more driven in a different way to say, all right, what marketing book can I read or who can I listen to on a podcast to say, let's take this website to another level. Versus back then it was like, oh, I just need to move to town and it'll be okay. And the ambition is still there. It's just maybe tweaked a little different.
Yeah, for sure. So we are getting down there in time, but real quick, tell me about, you've got a lot of shows, you know, you've got a lot of stuff that you're balancing. How do you juggle all these things?
My guitar player. No, I'm kidding. we play every Tuesday at a place called Music City Bar and Grill, and it's fun because I write a lot, and so we do a lot of my originals there, and I go Facebook Live, and so I always have a pretty good idea of if people like what I write, or they'll tell you real quick if they think it stinks.
Yeah, especially on social media, right? Like those people come out like a sore thumb, right? Yeah, for sure.
Most of the people are really nice, though. They've known me long enough that they'll say, hey, you can't jump her. That's just the way she is.
That's awesome. Well, we got to have those people in our pocket to, you know, be our cheerleaders as well. Well, everybody, thanks for listening here on Shining Bright by Farm Her. I want to remind you all to head over to our events page on our website, farmher.com. And you can see where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing, if I'm going to be speaking at someone else's event, if we're hosting our own event, from I Am Farm Her to our lineup of grow events this year. We've got something for everybody, and we want to see you there. So again, www.farmher.com. Click on the events tab and come see us. We'll be right back here on Shining Bright. Welcome back to Shining Bright. If you were with us in the last segment, you heard that we have been talking to Sarah Simmons, who is a fellow Iowa girl who has made her way to Nashville and is gracing stages there with her voice. And we're going to hear that voice here in the end of this segment as well. So everyone needs to stick around for that. But here leading in, Sarah, I want to talk to you a little bit about your style of music, because I read that you've coined it American grass. So bluegrass, country, Americana, and swing. Can you tell me a little bit about this from your perspective?
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, I just mostly I love traditional country, and I like a little more new grass than like old school grass, which probably makes me really weird, but I like that. And so I also love Western swing music. There's just something really, you can't listen to it and not smile. Mm-hmm. And so that's just something that I just wanted to try to incorporate together. And it's one of those things like, Oh, I Need You. We put drums on it, which it's a bluegrass song, but we thought we'd shake up the bluegrass world and put drums on it. So people are either rolling over in their graves or they're going, oh, well, there's drums on this. Okay. You know,
What, why not keep it unique, interesting, fresh, right? Like bring your own mark to it. That's what people remember, I think. So, yeah. I love it. I can't wait to hear your song a little bit later. So let's talk about your why. I mean, why are you chasing after this dream? What is it about singing that makes you want to keep chasing after it and keeps that passion going?
That's a tough one. 'Cause I'm crazy.
I understand. I'm here with you.
It's one of those things. Actually, I listened to Joel Osteen this morning while I was getting ready. I woke up at 4 and it was like, well, gosh, I woke up a little earlier than I anticipated, but why not? And so I was getting ready and they mentioned something about your dream. If it's really a God-given dream, it doesn't go away. It keeps happening. And so I just keep thinking, as much as it frustrates me, I also have a really tender reward. You know, it's definitely, it's about me in a sense, but it's about what can I do to change somebody else's life. And if I write something, whether it's fast or slow or a tender ballad, like I want to be able to, you know, go home with those people. And if they put it on the CD player or an MP3, I don't even have a CD player in my truck anymore. I'm so bummed about that. But, mm-hmm. I want to be able to just make somebody smile or create a memory. I'm real nostalgic about my grandparents. And so I want to be able to say, you know, if you grew up on a farm, I want to be able to write something that either makes you smile or be like, yeah, my grandpa did that. Or I remember the vegetable garden or anything like that. Just a spark, just something that makes your heart smile.
Yeah. I love that. That makes me want to listen to all of your songs because music is that for me, right? It can make me happy. It can make me sad. It can be company when, you know, I need it, whatever that might be. And you can tell by looking at my playlist that it's all over the board. But I think that's the beauty of music. And I love that that's your why.
Yeah.
Very cool. So I have asked this of some of the other, I know, very creative women musicians specifically that we've had on our show. And this is one of my favorite things to ask. I talk about this book a lot. It's called In the Company of Women. And I find a lot of comfort in it as a woman who runs a creative business and a small business, because it's talking to other creatives about their why and what keeps them going. And, you know, this spark, this passion, this whatever it is that we've got, this crazy, right? And some of the questions that they ask those women, I love to ask the people on our show. So, Sarah, in your opinion, what does the world need more of?
Me. No,
yes, there you go. I like that attitude. Good
These
job.
Boys in the studio are cracking up. Oh my God. My guitar player knows. He's like, oh God, she took her filter off. I would say everybody needs to be a little more humble and get rid of their egos, because at the end of the day, we're all striving to do our best. And I'm real big about, I try to live it. I don't always, but getting out of your comfort zone, I don't think we were designed to be comfortable. For me, I feel like when I get comfortable, I stop working to achieve that next goal. And so for me, there's always something better to be doing.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. Well, we have just a little tiny bit of time left. So you're going to be singing Oh, I Need You coming up. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. So we're going to hear that song in just a minute. And can you also tell everybody where they can hear more, find out more, connect with you, see where you're going to be?
Sure. It's silly. There's a short story behind it. It's sscornpickers.com. So Sarah Simmons is the SS. But we were playing several years ago at the Farm Progress Show, and the guy says, you need a band name. And I said, really? My name doesn't work? And he says, well, it does, but you need a band name. And so I thought, well, golly, I'm an Iowa girl. Why not? We'll just go Corn Pickers.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Are you on Facebook, Instagram?
Yeah, I do Facebook way more than I do Instagram. I have it, but it doesn't mean I know how it works. The Facebook is the official Sarah Simmons, and it's SARASIMMONS.
Okay, well, everybody can hear you on your Facebook Lives over there. And here we go. Let's hear Oh, I Need You from Sarah Simmons.
Back then, and when you smile at me, it starts all over again. Oh, I-
And welcome back to Shining Bright. We have got something really, really awesome. I use that word all the time, but this one is actually is super exciting to me. I am at the Des Moines Public Schools FFA program, which I've been here before, and there are a lot of young women in this program. So right now I'm talking with Bailey and Kimberly. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, yeah. So let's start with you, Bailey. Do you have a background in agriculture, or what brought you to this program here?
Yeah, my dad actually grew up on a farm up in Northeast Iowa, and he moved down here to be with my mom. And so we always go up there and visit once a year, and I really like the program, and I had friends in it, and so they really got me into it. I got into horses, and now I show goats and everything with them.
And let me clarify for our audience that if you are not in Des Moines, because this show goes all over the place, the Des Moines Public Schools is right here where we are, but it's really an urban school. Like there's not much rural about Des Moines proper. And so it's a really unique thing, I think, that you guys have this program here. So Kimberly, what about you? What brought, do you have an ag background?
Yeah, okay. So, well, I grew up going to the farm on the weekends with my father, and then I go to Mexico twice a year. So my grandparents actually have their own farm, and I work a lot with the livestock there. So I've just always been interested in animal science, and my counselor was the one who recommended this class for me.
Awesome. You guys have two very different backgrounds, two very different things, but brought you to the same place here. So, Kimberly, let's go back to you. What is your favorite thing? We are standing in a barn right now, just FYI. There's a little baby goat. It looks like it was just born not too long ago. I saw you petting it this weekend. We've got pigs in here. If you hear something else in the background, is that all that's in here right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is your favorite thing about this program?
Taking the opportunities that come to me through the program. So like, for example, taking part in the science fair was pretty cool and I liked it a lot.
What did you do at the science fair?
We, Marixa Landeros and I did average daily gain in market swine, and we placed first at district and at state.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit more about the average daily gain project, because I can like make a guess about what that is, but I don't have pigs. So
basically it was the class, we had groups and we were responsible for creating our own feed plans for our pig pens. And it was somewhat of a race to see which pen could get their pigs to market weight the quickest, but also at a healthy rate.
So did you like it because you won?
No.
Well, but you learned a lot, right?
Yes, yes. That's the good part about it, is getting experience from every opportunity you have.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, otherwise, well, you said there's connection in your family. You wouldn't have an opportunity to work daily in a barn like this, right?
No, I wouldn't. Not unless I were to go out to Mexico, which is not that cheap.
No. And what about you, Bailey? What is your, what is it that you love about this program?
The opportunity it's given me to expand my knowledge on all the different animals. I've gotten to be able to show goats now. I didn't have the opportunity to keep a goat anywhere besides here now. So it's given me the opportunity to expand my knowledge on all the animals. And I've made a lot of new friends. I have friends from Indiana and Texas and Alabama and Puerto Rico and everything now because of it.
Through the showing?
Yeah. Between the showing and then the conventions and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I just am always amazed by this program because there might be a few of you, I know I've been here before, where there's a few people who maybe do live in a rural setting and come to this class, but you guys have a unique thing. So aside from the animals here, do you guys get engaged in anything else with your FFA ag program?
I'm actually going to be the president for next school year. I'm the 2019-2020 president for the Des Moines FFA. And then I am in the horticulture program as well. And I'm getting an opportunity to go to Thailand this year with Mr. Nelson.
Super awesome. Yeah. Congratulations on being the president. That is, it will be a wonderful thing for your future, but you'll learn so much, I'm sure. So yeah. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the horticulture program.
Well, we have the largest run greenhouse. They say in the country, it's not proven, but we have I've never seen one bigger than ours.
Stick with it.
Yeah. we make thousands of dollars every year. The students do everything in there. We plant all of them. We propagate everything. And then between like mid-April and mid-June, we sell everything that's in there. Yeah. And the students are there on the weekends, after school, selling everything. Mr. Nelson puts in a lot of time with it. And it's huge. It's a great opportunity to show how to do plants.
Yeah. It is. It's a beautiful thing. We'll do a live video. Anybody who's listening to this can go back on our Facebook page and look at that and be able to see it. Because every time I see your pictures of it, I'm like, whoa, look at this.
Yeah.
So Kimberly, tell me a little bit about the amount of time that you spend here.
Well, I just come on 8 days, but when I would come for chores, I would come just about every other weekend after work, and I'd be here for about half an hour.
Yeah. So you're here, like, the students are responsible for the chores with the animals that are right behind us.
Yeah, so there was about two students responsible for overseeing the chores being done, and then there was a student, like, for example, me coming in and actually doing them.
Yeah. So who was here this weekend when this cute little goat was born, do you know?
She was actually born overnight, so I came in to chores on Saturday night, and she wasn't really showing any signs. She was eating, she was outside playing around, she was perfectly fine. And then Sunday they came, or no, it was Friday night, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Friday night. We came Saturday morning to do goat weigh-ins, and she had had it overnight. So no one was here. She was acting perfectly normal the night before, but.
Yeah. Boom. Now it's here. Yeah. Oh, look. Yeah, it's nursing right now. Yeah. Such a cute little thing. So let me ask you a little bit about your future. You're going to be a senior next year, you said? And so, Bailey, tell me a little bit about where you see yourself going, and does agriculture a part of that?
I want to go pursue a major in ag business. I'm probably going to go to either Iowa State, DMAC, or Northwest Missouri State. And I like to stay in Iowa after that because a lot of my family's here, and I have the farming opportunity up north if I really wanted to.
Cool. And what about you?
Well, I'm a senior, so I'll be going off to Iowa State in the fall, and I'll be majoring in animal science.
Awesome. And it's okay. I always tell people, like, when I ask this question, no pressure, because I didn't know what I wanted to, I still don't know what I want to do. But like, do you have an idea of what you want to do with that animal science degree?
I want to continue off and go into the Iowa State Veterinary Medicine Program, actually.
Good for you. I bet a lot of the kids in this class want to go into vet medicine. Is that a true statement from what you know?
Most of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. That's a great way to get to continue to be around animals, for sure.
It gives you a head start with this program.
Yeah. So if you could tell any other students out there why they should, if they're listening to this and thinking, like, oh, that doesn't apply to me, I would never like a program like that, what would you tell them? Let's start with you.
It gives you so many different opportunities. You'd never imagine half the things you'd be able to do here. And even if you don't go to Des Moines Public Schools, you still have the opportunity to come here. Your schools will work with our schools in order so you can come here if you don't have a program like this.
And I guess this program doesn't close off its doors if you don't have a background working with animals. So if you should be able to take that step forward to take the initiative to actually advocate for your own education. And if you want to do something and you want to work with animals, then this is a program for you.
I think that's a great message because I see people all over the place and I get messages from people all the time. And they're like, I love farming or I love animals, but I don't have an opportunity to get involved in it. Getting into a class like this, whether it's in Des Moines or any other school around the country, is like a step in that direction, right? Awesome. Well, thank you so much, ladies. So on that note, I just want to remind everybody about an upcoming I Am Farm Her event. We have one of these a year. It's a really big event, and we're having it right here in Des Moines in central Iowa. And it is 2 days worth of fun, inspiration, connection for any women who are engaged in any way in the agriculture industry. So we've got everything from somebody talking about body language to a woman who is an engineer at John Deere, and she is she has paved the road, and she's one of the top female engineers in the country. We've got pigs in the background. I'm trying to talk to you guys about I Am Farm Her, and this is a perfectly legit background noise right now. So anyway, thank you ladies both for joining us here, and it has been a really cool experience. So thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, of course. We are back here at the Des Moines Public Schools program, and now I'm talking to a young woman kind of on the other side of the equation from where we started with these other two young ladies. So welcome, Skylin.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your background in agriculture and what led you to be working here at this program.
So I actually grew up in Eastern Illinois, where I was raised on a small livestock farm where my family grew up raising and showing competitive livestock, predominantly meat goats. We showed a little bit of cattle as well. So I had a passion for agriculture ever since I could walk. When I decided to start thinking about different schools, I actually went to a junior college out in Kansas for 2 years, and that was Butler Community College, and I was on the livestock judging team down there, so it was a little bit of a transition from back at home. But as I got to my sophomore year, I decided, you know, I really like the educational aspect. I love being able to share the agricultural story and all facets of it, so I decided to come to Iowa State for agriculture education. So currently I'm actually here as a student teacher. I'm actually finishing up this week, but it's been an amazing program to be able to get my feet wet in. It's been completely unique having a barn on site and having such a large greenhouse to be able to work with and work in.
Yeah, so did you target working at this program, or did you just like happen to find out? Like, what led you here? Because it is a unique program, and I would think from a perspective of you going into education in the ag world, like, what a cool thing to get to see behind the scenes.
Yeah, so we actually got to pick our top three choices of schools of where we would want to go to, but there hasn't really been any student teachers here before since it is such a unique program. Students are on a double block scheduling, so I actually only see two different groups of kids every single day. Mm-hmm. So we actually have the largest class of student teachers for the agriculture department that Iowa State's seen. There's 27 of us student teaching right now, so that actually got the opportunity to come here, and I thought it was so unique actually being able to work with kids who have no really background with agriculture. None of them live on farms. Some of them do board horses, but that's about as close as some of these students get to the agricultural world, and I thought that was completely unique being able to teach it from the absolute basics. So I thought it would be an awesome opportunity to be able to come out here, work with a very wide array of students that come from a magnitude of different backgrounds.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can only imagine. So while you were talking, I kept thinking, what's the biggest thing that you have learned? Because this has to have been an eye-opening experience in many ways.
Oh, it's been completely eye-opening. There's actually been some students that weren't actually born in this country. So it's been unique getting to learn some of their background along with me sharing my own stories growing up on a farm and just building those connections with the students, taking them to state convention where they're like, wow, this is a big ordeal, and they never realized it, and just giving them the opportunity. And I've learned so much from the students as well as what I'm hopefully portraying to them. So it's been really unique getting to help transport all of the kids all to these different contests and conventions. So we actually had a couple kids that were successful in the science fair. And so they did average daily gain on pigs. We're able to see what feed rations worked the best and what were the most successful. So I think seeing that aha moment and actually getting kids to connect with the information has been awesome for me.
Yeah, like what an aha moment, right? Mm-hmm. When they didn't even know this was something that they could ever care about.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're almost done here. Do you mind telling us about what is coming up next?
Yep, so I'm actually graduating from Iowa State next weekend.
Woo, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Pretty excited. Mm-hmm. So I actually just accepted a position in Northern Iowa with Lake Mills School District. So it's a smaller school district, and I'll be the agriculture teacher there. I'll have high school students, and I'll be teaching from animal science, horticulture, all the way to welding. And I'll actually get an exploratory class with 7th and 8th graders as well.
How cool. So what would you say one or two of the takeaways that you've learned here are something that you're going to carry forward with you into your own class as you kind of, you know, step out of this world and go into creating your own situation?
So probably the biggest things that I'm going to take away from here is just being able to showcase to students, you don't have to grow up on a farm to actually be involved in agriculture. There's so many opportunities involved. You don't actually have to work with pigs and farrowing out and doing the things hands-on in a farm that a lot of kids just expect. And I also think it's taking kids and getting them to do hands-on activities, and they're going to learn so much better from those different unique experiences versus somebody just talking at them.
Yeah, which obviously happens here as we stand here in this we've moved from the barn where we were in the last segment over to this greenhouse. And can you describe to me a little bit about the greenhouse operations that you guys have here?
Yep, so I've got to work with Mr. Nelson a little bit in the environmental science class. And a lot of what they do is they actually come out to the greenhouse, they're transplanting plants, they're creating all the hanging baskets, and they're being able to organize the whole greenhouse. It's a plant sale right now, so if you need some plants and you're in the area, come on out.
There's people shopping in here right now. They asked me if it was open when I came in the door. I was like, I think so. Come on in.
So it's pretty unique. It's all student run. Students come on the weekends and they're able to run the plant sale. They run the cash register, and it's been a really unique opportunity. They get such a wide array of plants, so it's not just vegetables or it's not just ornamentals, but they get a very wide array of plants. They get to see different kinds, textures, and get to work with all sorts.
Yeah. Is there something that you've seen, kind of an aha moment in watching kids work in here of any sort? I've got to imagine that, you know, just the experience.
Yeah, so a few of the things that I've been able to see is students will look over and say, oh, this group of plants isn't doing that well, and they almost have to troubleshoot why they aren't, because they're actually gaining the profit from that plant and they really need to fix it because it's affecting them personally. So they're like, oh, this aloe plant is getting too much water. That's why it's wilting. So it's pretty unique getting to see them actually connect the information to apply it to how the plant actually looks in front of them.
And you obviously have had more background on the animal side of agriculture. What have you learned being in here?
So a lot of the things that I've learned, I've been working right along with the kids, but actually being able to do some of the plant identification has really been a big thing for me. There's so many different plants, different vegetables, and all sorts of different kinds that I'll just go up to a student, and it's not only review for them, but it helps me be able to learn the different plants. I'll say, what's your favorite plant? Show me where it is. What makes this one different? So, yeah.
And right behind you, I keep looking at, there's banana trees even in here, like big banana trees.
Yep. So a few years back, those actually got donated to the program. So a lot of people in the community will actually donate different pots for students to use. They'll donate different plants that they don't want in their house or something anymore. So there's actually a few banana trees right behind me.
Not something you see everywhere in Central Iowa. So real quick, we just have a little tiny bit of time left. If you talked to a student who wasn't sure if they should go out for a program like this, what would you tell them?
I would say, do you like animals? Or I would ask them, have you ever thought about having a garden? Or even if they're still resilient, I would just ask, what do you eat on a daily basis? Because this completely affects them. Not only do they get to see vegetables grown in the greenhouse, but they've actually gotten the opportunity with working with pigs from farrowing all the way to finish and getting able to see the market that they go and get processed at.
It's such a cool thing. Thank you so much, Skylyn. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you very much.
Wasn't that a fun thing to get to hear from those young women who are, you know, they're immersing themselves in this program. As you heard, they are coming to this farm at their school on weekends at night. They are on, you know, maternity watch with the goats, and they are learning so much. And from the first time I visited this program, like I talked about earlier, with my young son there with me and spoke to these girls, I've just kind of had this soft spot in my heart for this program. They have an instructor, Kevin Anderson, who cares so much, no different than so many of the ag programs in schools out there, you have to have a teacher and instructor who really, really cares. And Mr. Anderson really cares about these young women, and he actively seeks out opportunities for them to be able to grow. And over 80% of his students are women, young women in these classes. So, you know, it's a really important thing. He's always made the time and found the money to be able to bring them to our grow events here in Iowa. And it's been a fun thing for me to get to see them engage. But I absolutely love it. Like I said, you know, talked about on those segments where, you know, these young women had no connection or very little connection to agriculture before they found this program. And now they're learning how to take care of baby goats and to take care of mama goats and to grow all different types of plants. And, you know, you heard that it's fostering the next generation of teachers as well. So a really cool thing. So from Sarah Simmons to the Des Moines FFA girls, all of these young people have a lot of things on their plates right now and as they head into the future. I mean, our world just gets busier and busier and busier. It gets fuller and fuller. Our time gets eaten up with more and more things, and we just add more, right? Oh, there's another social media platform. Oh, there's this other tool to manage all of your stuff. You know, we just keep adding more to our pile. And one of the things I've been introduced to recently is identifying your personal dashboard. And this can come from a few different perspectives, but whether it's your personal, your dashboard about me, or a dashboard about your business or your job, but what are those things that you need in front of you to gauge if you're doing it right for yourself, to gauge if you're going too fast or too slow, right? Or to gauge if you need to hit the gas or pull back. You know, those tools that we all need to have in front of us. And so I've really been pushing myself to think about my personal dashboard. And this is super reflective of the fact that I've come off of, you know, the first 3 months of this year, I was gone for one solid month. And I've always avoided adding up how many nights I'm actually gone from home, because I love home. I love my family, you know, and balancing that with Farm Her has been a chore. But one of the things on my dashboard is I need to watch that night's gone, right? And that means I'm going to have to say no a little bit more and use my time a little bit more effectively, maybe when I am gone. But one of the number one things is, you know, that's on my dashboard, to cut that down. And so monitoring how many days I'm gone on my calendar and keeping an average. Yikes, right? Holding myself to the fire. You know, another thing on my dashboard is I've talked a lot in the past about, I think it's really important to take care of ourselves. And I fall short on that many times, because there's a business to take care of. There's my family that I want to focus on, you know, and the me tends to fall down low. But I have found that running most mornings is a real key to me being able to juggle all of the things that I do in a positive way and do some sort of self-care, right? Because this makes me feel better. It gives me mental clarity. It makes me feel better about myself. So whether that's walking for a little bit in the mornings, whether it's running, whether that's going to a class, whatever that is for you, you know, I put this on my personal dashboard as a pretty big key. And at first I was like, oh, I need to do this many times a week, and I need to do this many days and go to this class. And then I was like, no, that doesn't make sense. I already wear an Apple Watch every day. So how about I just try to set my goals and close my rings, whether that's standing, whether that's walking, whether that's running, whatever it is doing, I try to have a certain amount of physical activity every day. You know, so these are things I want you all to think about that can be right in front of you. And as young people, as middle-aged people like myself, running after life, we all need to be aware of what that dashboard is. And for me, looking at it from a personal standpoint is a pretty important thing right now. So I'd encourage all of you to think about your dashboard and what's on that and how you're going to get to where you're going to go and how to have those tools in place, those gauges set, so that you can tell if you're on your way. Just another fun thing that I've learned recently that I'm really trying to work on for myself. So thank you everybody for joining us here on Shining Bright by Farm Her. You've been listening to Shining Bright by Farm Her. Be sure to listen Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM's Rural Radio 147 and the SiriusXM app. And now, go shine bright.